Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
3, 2, 1, and we are back, Julie Harris.
Yes.
It is March the 16th.
Indeed. And we are continuing our topic, The Introvert's Guide to Being a Real Estate Rockstar. In fact, even if you are the most introverted person ever, you can be a real estate rock star, and we're here to show you how.
And before you get to your first point, and I know we have to make a slightly abbreviated show today, and we shall. I wanted to let all of you know that, as promised, we have a new something for you guys, and we are going to be doing a webinar that's going to happen probably once or twice a week. It's going to be an interview of top-producing agents and what they're doing to make money in this market. And all of you are invited. And here's all you have to do. Just text the word Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, text the word Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, to 855-685-1045. Text the word Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, to 855-685-1045. And when you do, we're going to text you back a link, and you can join, you can register for this upcoming webinar. And I'm interviewing 7 different top producing agents. And if you guys want to know how you not just succeed short term, but succeed long term, in some cases decades, and become some of the most successful agents in the nation, these are all coaching clients. Please go ahead and text us directly. Text directly to Harris, and just text Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, to 855-685-1045. All right, Julie.
Yes. So yesterday, if you missed yesterday's podcast, we started this topic, The Introvert's Guide to Being a Real Estate Rockstar. And we laid some groundwork, having you realize that there are very successful people, presidents, actors, actresses, et cetera, who cover all of the bases in terms of extrovert or introvert and what degree of each. So if you missed it, get caught up from yesterday's podcast. And we went over to point number 1 and 2, which I'm just going to state those, and then we'll start today with number 3. Number 1 was have confidence in the person you are. Number 2 was use scripts that don't sound like scripts. And we had a great discussion about both of those topics. Point number 3, this is specific to introverts. Recharge your mental, emotional, and spiritual batteries every day. What makes you tick? Because you see, introverts are rejuvenated by quiet, dedicated time to themselves. This could be a walk, meditating, biking, swimming, just reading for 20 minutes. Refill the cup. I've had introverts that are not good at this, and they'll just disappear on you for like 2 weeks.
Oh, completely.
It's like they hit the wall, and they have to go refill the cup. And it's so severe because they haven't been keeping an eye on themselves that they just kind of check out. And then, like, some of these have been coaching clients. You call to talk to them on their coaching call, and their voicemail's full. So they're not just checking out of, like, their lead follow-up. They're kind of checking out of everything. And I just want you guys to be monitoring that and refilling the cup daily so that you don't have those experiences where you have a little meltdown.
And introverts, you guys know how to hack your own desire to be introverted. You can't not make yourself want to be introverted. You have to give yourself that time to be introverted. And don't feel selfish about it. Don't, you're spreading yourself too thin. Your chances are you're going to become less effective. And it does take more concerted effort as an introvert, and you're listening to one now, so is Julie, to be extroverted. And you, by the way, to be successful in life, you definitely are going to have to be versatile. But at the end of the day, knowing an extrovert doesn't require as much energy to be obviously themselves or as an extrovert or as an introvert is going to have to be. So with one, Julie and I will go on long walks. We do that every day. We do that to decompress. We do our Sunday podcast, which is kind of fun and irreverent. Julie and I will listen to a lot of books, listen to a lot of podcasts. We've got these new e-bikes that are fun that we go on, mountain bike rides on. Things that are not going to involve talking with anybody else is really the bottom
line. That's a good way to put it. Yes, indeed. And in fact, point number 3 was recharge your mental, emotional, and spiritual batteries every day, because point number 4 is act as if you're an extrovert without losing yourself. In other words, become more versatile. Who do you know that has positive and outgoing traits and is well-respected? Begin to blend your natural tendencies with a few other traits that will increase your versatility. This isn't to say that you should be fake. In fact, you might find that you actually have some latent outgoing traits already within you. You just haven't been practicing them.
Well, you might be an extrovert amongst all your introverted friends.
I am.
Yeah, Julie was. I mean, definitely. Funny. Yeah.
Especially my music geek friends. You know, everybody thought I was like the biggest extrovert just because I like wore colors.
Well, just because they prefer to stay under their staircases, yeah, basically. Exactly. But you know, because you wore colors, right. That is true.
Yeah. So research has shown from different professors and psychologists that study this stuff that introverts who act like extroverts by being, for example, more sociable, talkative, energetic, and enthusiastic than they naturally are, they actually see their happiness increase. This is likely because of the positive feedback that they're getting, perhaps for some of them, the first time that they've gotten that. But the positive feedback they get from their peers, but it also might be because they're becoming more comfortable in the company of other outgoing types.
Right.
You know, I remember I've got a friend in California, Laura Lee, who's like, she's an interesting combination because she's pretty detailed and pretty analytical, but she is very much naturally an extrovert. So I think one of the reasons we're friends is because we're a good balance to each other. But I always like doing stuff with her because she does all the talking. Like, I don't have to say anything.
Totally.
You know, Coach Rochelle is kind of like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's valuable to have friends who have those traits and start to kind of pick up on some of those without losing your soul.
But this goes back to the innate human desire to basically belong.
You know, this acceptance.
And so acceptance, right. So if you see yourself being more versatile with different personality styles, even if you've led your whole life and basically you look around you and all your friends have the same personality style as you, just to stay on introverts, all your friends are engineers, you know, accountant types, mm-hmm. all your friends are musicians, they're introverted types. And you're going to find that you have essentially chosen, maybe without knowing it, to alienate yourself from all the other different relationships and the beautiful number of different varieties of human personalities that there are out there. And if you give yourself permission to be okay with, even if you're coming to this epiphany late in life, it's perfectly fine. But now that you have this, just tap into that feeling. And it said you feel less depressed when you mm-hmm. have more versatility. Well, it's obvious the reason why. It's because as an introvert, introverts, generally speaking, don't want to be around other people, including even other introverts. So they spend less time around people, and all of us need to spend time around people because it makes us actually feel more connected and more alive. When you look at longevity of life, one of the constant themes is that people stay attached and have lots of friends, and they have a strong group of friends around them. You know, people that are married for a long period of time have a tendency to live longer. People, again, who have a lot of friends have a tendency to live for a long period of time. They are, guess what, less depressed. And so introverts, if you're finding yourself, you know, spending more time by yourself alone or just with other introverts, this is your opportunity to realize not only are you leaving potential business opportunity on the table, but you're also leaving opportunities for you to have a richer, fuller life on the table.
That's right. And in business, if you find yourself saying things either out loud or to yourself, like, well, I just didn't hit it off with that prospect, I'm not feeling it, that is an indication that you lack versatility. And it's definitely something to work on, because if you only work with people that are just like you, that might be like 10% of the population, and you're just not feeling it with everybody else. That's being lazy.
And it's so we can just stay on this, because it is an interesting thing, because you and I have thought about this pretty intensely,
sure.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And studied this for the book that you're reading, our own Bacaris Rules. Introvert personality types even have a tendency, and again, it's pseudoscience, just keep all this in mind. But analyticals in particular, and drivers in particular, have a tendency to live in around each other. And so if you're showing houses and you drive into a neighborhood, and this is always kind of, you know, you guys will all laugh from this. You're showing houses, you drive in a neighborhood, and all you see everywhere is plastic kid stuff everywhere, backyards, all these, you know, just children everywhere. There's a really good chance that is not a neighborhood that has very many analyticals or drivers living in it, because the disorderly nature of most of those, the way that most of those people live, would drive an analytical and a driver person nuts. Why are you laughing?
Because it reminds me of a neighborhood that you and I like and have lots of friends in
here,
but we're always like, can't do it.
Yeah.
It's just too much all the time. You can't be surrounded by
it. It's called Dorado Beach East. And every time we walk through it, we're like, it's too people-y.
It's way too people-y.
That's what we say.
And it's beautiful. There's lots of, you know, beautiful ponds, and Zoe likes to take gymnastics over there. But
and we know people constantly. We trip across friends constantly, but it's like after we're done with our walk, we're
it's
like,
exhausting.
Oh, God, I need to have a break. Too many conversations.
And then I was thinking about, I wonder whether, you know, the new neighborhood that's got more hard lines and modern architecture in the enclave. Like that, that's more of kind of an
analytical
driver neighborhood. Right. You can tell by looking at it.
But
isn't
you
that
can.
Funny?
You really can. Yeah. And like if you think about, for example, let's just say a neighborhood that's attracting driver types. Mm-hmm. Driver types, this is also, guys, you can, this also becomes age dependent, but it's going to be not, the houses are generally speaking going to be neat, orderly. They're going to be very
crisp,
traditional. They're going to be crisp, exactly. You're not going to see a lot of expressive anything. I mean, I picture, for example, like, you know, modern neighborhood, you're generally speaking, you guys get the gist of it, right? You could almost, as I described, like a modern house with real, you know, it's white, it's gray, and it's got real, you know, very little landscaping or adornments, or there's certainly no kids stuff in the yard. Don't you just automatically start feeling the vibe of the person that lives in that house?
Yes, and so here's the mistake. Here's how you do use this pseudoscience, definitely not real science. Just this is more of like, it should just be called observing how people are different than you.
Yes.
You know, so let's say that you are along the lines of really liking that modern, clutter-free, real crisp-looking home. That's kind of how you are, and maybe how your office is, how you dress, what you drive. And then you have a listing appointment. Excuse me. You have a listing appointment tonight in, say, Dorado Beach East, and there's kid stuff everywhere. You know, these are, if you remember listing appointments where we would walk in and they were no longer using their dining room because all the kid stuff had taken over.
Pretty much.
Like literally the dining room table was gone because there's Barbie houses there.
And you and I would break out in hives.
Right. So you can't, you know, you have to have that versatility and take, you know, your outlook on that away. And conversely, too, maybe you're somebody that's how you live and you go into somebody that's more clutter-free, and you can't have that reaction like, oh gosh, this is just too boring. It's too neutral. It's, you know, you have to suspend your judgment and know who you're dealing with, and your appointments are going to go a lot more smoothly than just going in and going, oh my gosh, I'm just not feeling it.
And here's the other thing. It's just get your minds around this. It's not, especially when you're in sales, which you are, well, assuming you're selling anything, that's a joke. But it's not their job to be versatile to you. It's your job to be versatile to them.
They are who they are.
Right. It's not their job to essentially, you know, try to mold themselves and their approach to you. It's the opposite. And the more you accept the fact that you have to become like the world in which you're here to serve, the happier you're going to be, and the less you're going to struggle, and the less you're going to feel like a freak. I mean, the less you're going to feel like, oh, I don't want to go to that group because I'll be afraid that I'll be in conversations. I mean, I've coached some extreme introverts over the years, and some of the ways that they've sculpted and designed their lives around avoiding human interaction is sad, truthfully, it's sad. And they think that they can be successful in real estate. They can, but they're going to have to work 1,000 times harder to move past their innate, essentially, fear and lack of versatility with dealing with other humans.
Yes, that's right. Definitely something to work on. Okay, point number five. For our introverts, in new situations, have a plan. If you're on a tough competitive listing appointment and you haven't been on very many of those, use your pre-qualification script, your pre-listing package, arrive early, be practiced with what you're going to do on your presentation. Here's a secret. Naturally extroverted people tend to be less careful than that. You can launch your sneak attack by simply being better, faster, smarter, more polished, and poised. Some of my favorite coaching clients over the years, I call them velvet hammers. You know, because they're really nice and they're sweet and they're kind, and you can't imagine saying no to them just because they're a nice person, okay? But they win listing presentations. Why? Because they're more prepared, because they do a better job asking questions. They use things like the Sharpie close. They speak, they have that versatility where they're giving that person what they need instead of assuming, as honestly, I mean, there are extroverts that just pretty much get 80% of their deals from their shining personality and because, you know, I'm
unlikable. But to an extent.
Yes.
And but you just said something that's very, that hopefully got by nobody, mm-hmm. right? The pre-listing pack, mm-hmm. our pre-listing pack that they get as being coaching clients,
yes.
that we will not give to you or sell separately, so don't ask.
Nope.
Which many of you are thinking that you're going to be able to do that. You can't. It's copywritten, okay? So our pre-listing pack that you have a license to use once you're a coaching client, the thing about the pre-listing pack is it is versatile by the way it's designed.
On purpose.
It is answering all the questions that the seller, you know, even questions the seller didn't even think to ask you. The seller is going to have all their questions answered prior to you getting there, so you don't have to worry about being stuck in a corner or being put on your heels with some question that makes you uncomfortable. So that's the thing about having an organized sales approach. We talked about this in our clubhouse this morning,
yes.
you know. So many of you guys are finding yourselves in listing appointments and you're winging it. You don't have a pre-listing pack. You didn't pre-qualify the seller. You don't know how to present to the seller. all personality types that you're presenting to or that you're trying to attract to you dislike an agent who's disorganized and who's obviously winging it. The ones who really hate it are the analyticals and the drivers. They Absolutely. Will eat you alive. And they're going to look for reasons to not – you will have an instant reaction of distrust from either of those two personality styles unless you basically are willing to be having a professional approach. Now, you might be able to befriend the amiable sort, and maybe they'll just list with you because they like you, and maybe even so with the expressive. But
that's still rolling the dice.
That's still rolling the dice.
You don't necessarily know how it's going to go and even who the decision maker is,
right.
Especially if you don't use a pre-qualification script. But this is also the exact reason why agents who wing it like that, even if they're, you know, have their act together, they look great, they have a nice personality, but they're winging it. This is why they report back that they have a hard time closing.
Right.
Okay. Because what is the definition of to close? The closing is a logical ending to a great presentation. If you don't have a great presentation, the close will always be awkward. And that's why you find yourself walking out the front door saying, well, I'll follow up with you.
Yep.
Instead of I'll put a sign in the yard.
And then somebody who's trained, one of our coaching clients, is going to go in on that listing appointment after you and get the listing away from you because you weren't a professional. Like on the clubhouse this morning, mm-hmm. very nice guy was asking, essentially a new agent was trying to put all the pieces together on his own.
Yes.
And it's so, honestly, it makes no sense to me. If I wanted to basically learn, if I wanted to drive from here to even the other side of Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go and wing it. I'm going to turn navigation on.
Yeah.
I'm going to use, you know, some sort of sure. app to get me there. And yet somehow some of you guys think you're going to magically find yourselves in real estate and you're going to be able to, from your zero previous experience in any business or, you know, sales backgrounds, you're going to be able to wing it to the point where you're going to fool sellers or even buyers to a certain extent to want to do business with you. You wonder why so many agents, like basically every agent fails with it. You know, it's a shocking number, 90% or something. Mm-hmm. Within 24 months or less. That's why. Because they don't have a professional approach. Because they pick off the lowest hanging apples on their leads tree. They get licensed and it turns out they know three people. They do three deals. They never, and they spend it after that. They do really dumb stuff like spending it on buying leads. Don't worry, I'm not going to get on mm-hmm. my soapbox.
Yeah.
And then they have no profit. Then they spend money. They go into debt to buy more leads and do more dumb stuff. And then within 24 months or less, they're out of the business. Now, why is that? Because they never took a professional approach. They never learn to obviously be versatile with their and learn and to adapt to the other personality styles. That's a big part of it. But ultimately, even if you conceptually get the understanding of being versatile and the importance of that, if you don't have a professional approach, you're not going to make any money.
That's it.
And I don't understand why agents sometimes they act like they're entitled to success despite the fact that they've really done nothing other than show up.
That's right. I don't understand it either, other than that. They don't teach you this stuff in real estate school, and there's no requirement of brokers to give you any education or office managers, and they can be surrounded by – I'll give you a perfect example of this because I can only spend like 5 minutes a day looking at the agent stuff that gets posted.
She meets on the Facebook groups.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody posted something going sideways on a deal, and there was like all of these opinions giving – I kid you not, giving legal advice, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
And I was scanning through, and I'm going, there's like violation after violation here of you guys giving each other legal advice, and a lot of it was not even sound in our experience, okay? And only a few people said ask your broker, and other people said ask an attorney. But, I mean, it's mind-blowing how lack of education there is out there. So I think some of it's their fault for being assumptive. To your point, they feel entitled to just win every time. And some of it's not their fault because there's just a dearth of, real education.
Well, since you
thus our podcast.
Since you overturned that rock, let's just be really brutally honest with them. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to end up in some brokerage environment where you're surrounded by an office manager or broker that doesn't know how the hell to sell real estate. You're probably going to end up in the, you know, essentially in an office where they're going to tell you to buy leads, where they're going to tell you to join a team, where they're going to tell you to work on your branding or go make TikTok videos, because you're probably going to be under somebody who's only sold real estate since probably 2008 or 2009. Because frankly, guys, that is what most of the industry is nowadays. So most people have never been trained on how to do the real work of real estate. And if you get into this business and you find yourself in environments like that, you're going to absolutely find yourself, the probability of you succeeding is almost zero, because you have to learn how to be of service to other people. And the way you learn to be of service to other people is you learn the skills that all the other people doing all the other fanciful stuff will never learn to do. Not because they didn't have the potential to learn how to do it, but because they did not have someone telling them to do the right thing. Ultimately, what you guys want, where you're going to be happiest in life, is when you're of service to other people. That's when you're happiest. That's when all of us are happiest. That's the reason you want to be more versatile, so that you can essentially be of service to more people. But you have not earned the right to be of service to more people until you have the skill sets that those people need to solve their problem, which in your case is buying or selling real estate.
Yes. Well, and to your point about our very nice listener, caller, whatever you want to call Clubhouse person this morning, you know, the great thing is that so many people have the ambition and the desire that if that's you and you have that kind of enthusiasm and you add any level of skill to it, to the point where you can earn while you learn, because every appointment you go on adds to your education, it gets them into action and they can get success fairly quickly with that sprinkling of skill set. But you can't just, you know, hang out planning on, you know, just using your sparkling personality every time. Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. And one of the things that drives me crazy is that, you know, there's brokers and office managers that say, well, you should expect 50% success. That's normal. It's not normal anywhere else in life. So cut it out here.
Can I ask you a question? I've never asked you this before.
Yes. And then I have to get to Facebook.
I know. I'm setting it up for you. So the question I have for you is this isn't arrogance or ego. This is just truth. Okay. There's no way you can listen to what we're saying and not realize that it's the truth. You can't hear what we're saying and not say that's the obvious truth. Intuitively, every single person listening to us.
I think that's right.
Okay. Why would they choose then not to take action on what we say?
I think two reasons. One is just flat out laziness because they think it's going to be harder than it is. Okay.
You mean doing what we ask them to do.
Right. And I think the other reason is that for a little while, especially early on in your career, you can have confirmation bias because your first three or four deals were easy because they were friend deals.
Assuming they did any, yeah.
Right. Assuming that you do any. And some of you, unfortunately, don't have that going. But if you do, it's easy after like your third or fourth friend deal to believe that that's just going to keep coming until one day it doesn't. And then you're like, okay, well, now I have to go out and actually maybe create some business. That's when the learning starts.
And that's probably a lot of the time there isn't so many agents and will gravitate towards the referral-only approach because they think that that's how you're supposed to build your business. And they're surrounded by other people that have done it the same way. And by the way, that is the first spoke we teach you guys to do in our coaching program.
But not the only spoke.
It's certainly not the only spoke because it's the least reliable at producing consistent business.
Well, that came up this morning too, right? So agents living in fear of, gosh, maybe I'm only having success lately because the market's really hot and it's kind of coming to me and everybody's really all stoked up on real estate. What happens with even the slightest little change? And I can tell you from a lot of coaching calls this week, I am seeing a little bit of cracking.
Well, interest rates are rising.
Interest rates are rising. We're getting a little bit more inventory. We're starting to see not every house have multiple offers in 22 seconds.
So there was a gal, and I know you have to round the bend. There was a gal on the Clubhouse this morning. Her name was Julie. Mm-hmm. Very nice gal. And she said, I'm worried that my success is basically on fragile ground. You know, it's on thin ice because it's predicated on this hot seller's market. And she, you know, described some of the things about her business. She was a broker, very, very bright gal. And to which my response was, yeah, you're right. Your business is built on thin ice because you're not doing anything proactive to lead generate, which she sort of was not necessarily receptive of what I had to say. And then she came back and said, well, I knock on doors. I do things like that. Well, that's proactive-ish. Mm-hmm. But why aren't you directly contacting the people that have their hands in the air are already saying, I want to sell my house. To which she said there wasn't any of that available in her marketplace. And I didn't want to embarrass her, but had she done some homework, I'm sure she would have discovered quickly that there are. She just doesn't want to or doesn't yet know how to go after that business. So if you have that, if you've got that feeling that your business too is built on thin ice, that it's only predicated on a hot seller's market, why don't you trust your intuition? Because you're probably right. And that the only way to make that feeling go away is if you learn how to help more sellers in different situations, not just essentially centers of influence and past clients. Because guys, the buyer's market's not hard. It's the transitioning market that sucks. The transitioning market's what kills you. So when you go from the market that's been to the market that is, that transition can last years. I don't predict, and neither does Julie or anybody else we talk to, a big slowdown, but that doesn't mean we're right. There could be a big slowdown. And who the hell knows?
Even if it's not a big slowdown, it's going to feel like something different to these guys that have only lived through a hot seller's market.
For sure.
I had a call with a Canadian coaching client, and this will be my last story, who said, you know, I feel like there's a shift going on because one out of three new listings isn't selling right away.
John Walkinshaw.
It will sell.
He's not just a Canadian coaching client. He is one of the top agents in all of Canada.
Yes. So I trust his radar, right? And so we were talking about what you just said, the transitioning market is tough because you can get stuck for months in sellers still having aspirational pricing, buyers getting wind that things aren't selling quite as fast, so they're not coming in quite as high, and yet the seller still wants 25% over list price. That's where your skills really come in, because you have to have different types of conversations than you've had for the past 4 or 5 years.
And you got to get ready for our coaching. So in the meantime, if you guys want to talk to us about joining our EXP family, feel free to text me directly at 512-758-0206. 512-758-0206. And let's have a conversation about EXP. It's absolutely the smart move. We're talking about a possible changing market. Why don't you guys create a financial hedge against a changing market and have a source of income that's not predicated on you selling houses? It's called revenue share. If you want to learn more about EXP, please text me directly at 512-758-0206. In the meantime, you guys have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.